and see something pretty. Isn't it beautiful? Would you just like to be out there? What? Oh, the picture's not bad either. This is a day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118. What a beautiful picture. This happened upon that this week. Thought I'd share that with you as we looked into this lesson. You'd be right over there sitting in a little cove over here. A little boat. Catch a few bass or catfish or something. Tranquil, beautiful, serene. Till somebody comes along and just messes it up. You ever been anxious? Lord said don't. Lord said don't be anxious for anything through the Apostle Paul. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. What's the rest of that, you remember? Let's go look at it. Yeah. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the rest of the verse. If you understand that verse and the concept of anxiety, we're going to talk about anxiety tonight. We're going to talk about Matthew chapter 6 in what we should be concentrating and concerned about in this life. But doesn't it just seem like that every once in a while, no matter what we do, we get that anxious or anxiety feeling about us? And it can come from just out of the blue. Maybe tonight these things will help as we go around and talk about things. You know, anxiety is, it's a problem. From the ADAA, the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. That speaks volumes in itself. Who knew we had to have an association for that? Anxiety and Depression Association of America, ADAA. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States and Canada, with 40 million, it's 18%, a little over 18%, adults in the U.S. and Canada. In those populations, that's adults 18 or older, affected by anxiety. Over $800 million spent annually on anti-anxiety pills, drugs. More people visit the doctors for anxiety than any other illness, instead of including colds. Isn't that amazing to you? It was to me when I found these stats. You can go to the ADAA website, ADAA.com, and see these same things. Anxiety disorders cost the U.S. and Canada more than $50 billion a year. That's, brethren, these things should not be, to coin a phrase. If we understand about not being anxious for anything, why is so much of our money, so much of our time and effort gone to the treatment of anxiety disorders? Somebody's missing something somewhere, I fear. There are physical and mental components to anxiety, and they can be diagnosed and treated. Anxiety causes certain malfunctions in our bodies and our mental illness, mental awareness, and you can treat those things. But there's a spiritual component to anxiety, and there it is. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If we could find ourselves doing that instead of getting all tied up in knots about things, how much better off would we be? And if you expect me to sit here and think that you don't go through anxiety, yes, you do. We all do at times, some more than others, but we all have it. I don't know how quick those things are popping up behind me, but they're being slow down here. MedicineNet.com, another quote. A feeling of apprehension, this is a definition of anxiety from them. A feeling of apprehension and fear characterized by physical symptoms such as palpitations, that's heart beating rather rapidly, sweating, feelings of stress. Anxiety disorders fill people's lives with overwhelming anxiety and fear, unlike the relatively mild, brief anxiety caused by a stressful event such as business presentation or first date. You know, you get a little stressed about those things. Anxiety is far greater than that. Anxiety disorders are chronic, relentless, and can grow progressively worse if they're not treated. Again, that that to me is amazing, but I know it happens. I know it takes place in people's lives. Recommended treatments, and each one has its place and its limitations in a balanced life. And each one is spoken of in Scripture, either directly or indirectly. For instance, one is medication. What did Paul tell Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, no longer drink only water. Use a little wine for your stomach's sake, for your frequent infirmities. A little medication. Well, medication helps our anxieties. Diet. Diet can assist in overcoming some anxieties. Jesus said about diet in Matthew 15, 17, do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? Spoke of diet. And ideally, those things wouldn't hang around your waist like this. But it does if we're not eating the right things or eating too much of the right things. Sometimes we eat because we have some anxiety. Exercise. Some of us are allergic to exercise. We found that out. Bodily exercise profits a little, Paul told Timothy, but godliness is profitable for all things. Then you can treat anxiety with rest. Jesus many times told the apostles, come, let's go aside and let's take a break, let's rest, such as the case of Matthew or Mark 6:31. So all those things are spoken of in Scripture that can assist us in keeping a stable health, either physical or mental. Let's take some more looks at anxiety. Care and concern, Matthew 6:25. What does Matthew 6:25 tell us? Let's go back and look at some verses here. I've got them written down. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to go in and out of Matthew chapter 6 a couple times tonight. Matthew 6:25. Jesus is speaking. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And oh, how we forget that, especially if we're in an anxiety state. I don't know if you've had an anxiety state, but they say everything begins to close in and your thoughts can only focus on what this anxiety is about, the situation, the event, the nervousness. Satan works on our minds along with anxiety. It may come from Satan. I'm not so sure it doesn't, because it's one of his tools. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is an interesting verse. If the gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. I put that verse in there because it has reference to the God of this age. Who is that? Satan. Little g, God of this age. Not talking about Heavenly Father God. We're talking about the God of this age, the God of this present world. Oh, Satan. He can blind us to certain things. He can blind some who are blind to the gospel good news, and they don't hear the gospel. They don't pay attention to it. They don't want to hear it. And they're blinded by the things of this world. Anxieties blind us. We'll talk about cause and effect in a minute, but anxieties blind us to certain things that are better for our scriptural well-being. And we get so much anxiety going on, we can't see, as has been said, the forest for the trees. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We know he works in and out of our lives and makes attempts to work in and out of our lives at every angle. Every time we take our mind off him, he's there again. We're not focused on him. When you're anxious and you're focused on something that's making you this way, Satan has free reign. You're not watching. You're not focused. You're not paying attention. You're not at watch, as Jesus had told his disciples many times. Mark 4:19 speaks of the cares of this world. Now, these are the ones, we're talking about the sower, the parable of the sower we spoke about yesterday over in Palestine. Talking about these seeds that didn't produce. These are the ones that are sown among the thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word. The cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke and become unfruitful. Again, Matthew 6:24-25. No one can serve two masters in 24. He'll take one, love the other, else he'll be loyal to the one or despise the other. Can't serve God and mammon or God and money. Sometimes the anxious things or the things in our life that make us anxious keep us away from serving God. I'm so anxious I just can't go to worship today. I'm so anxious I can't get out and go visit anybody. I'm so tied up in all this mess, I can't go do those things. Keeps us from serving. It distracts us from serving. The very word in the Greek, merizo, is meanings to divide and disturb or distribute. Divide us. You ever heard the phrase divide and conquer? If Satan can help divide our thoughts and divide our focus, he has a leg in the front door. Distractions, worry, being anxious. It's interesting that those of you that are married have spouses. Remember what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians about husbands and wives? 1 Corinthians 7. Turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. Sometimes our stress and anxiety comes from folks, spouse, husband or wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. Paul says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And that's a natural thing for the married man. There's a difference, he goes on to say in the next verse, about wife, difference between a wife and a virgin, or one who's not married. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit, but she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Those things sometimes bring anxieties upon us, and we don't really realize it until we're in the midst of it. Worrying about pleasing the spouse, the things we're focused on about keeping discord out of the home, sometimes takes our focus off the Lord's work. Paul says it right here. The married folks, more concerned about the spouse than the work of the Lord or the things that please the Lord. And I think, like I said, that's natural. That's a natural thing to want to please your spouse. He's not saying don't do that. He's saying there's a balance between pleasing the Lord and keeping serenity in the home. He says, I want you to be without care. That's that without concern, without that anxiety. You can do both. You can be pleasing to the spouse and be pleasing to the Lord. What does that take, though? It takes both husband and wife focused in the same direction to please the Lord, doesn't it? If you've got a wife that's not worried about pleasing the Lord, but she's worried about stuff and making a living and all this focus over here, and you got the husband who's trying to be a good godly man, there's going to be issues, tension, and anxiety, or vice versa. It takes both focused in the same direction to please the Lord when they can be pleasing to each other at the same time. And there's ways that we become anxious. Martha was anxious. The same Martha and Mary we talked about this morning. In Luke 10, verses 40 and 41, Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She's all anxious about that. Mary's not doing anything. I'm doing all the work. Sometimes situations cause us anxiety. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. He said, Mary's chosen the good part, didn't he say? Need to be careful where we're focused. But anxiety comes from cares of this world or worldly care when we don't need to be so focused on that. It brings an unbalanced perspective in life circumstances. Again, back in chapter 6 at verse 19 through 25, Jesus said, let's just go there. I don't want to misspeak the parable. Or the teaching, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. How many folks get all anxious and have anxiety attacks over laying up for themselves these things? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your trouble is, there your heart will be also. Is it a fact, and maybe it is a fact, that our anxiety is caused by where our heart is? Sometimes. Is there anxiety when your heart's focused on pleasing the Lord? As much as there is anxiety when your heart's focused on treasures in earth? Probably not. Anxieties cause depression. Solomon said, anxiety in the heart of the man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Hard to think about good words when you're in the middle of an anxiety attack. Weighs us down with wrong things. Take heed to yourselves, Luke 21:34. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day come upon you unexpectedly. We can be so caught up in anxiety in this life that we forget that there's good things, that there's godly things, that there's things that we can focus on to take away all the nerve problems and all the upset stomachs and the headaches and all that. Much easier to focus on like a picture in your mind of the first one we saw than what's at stake or what's at hand right now. And those things work. If you've never tried that, I've told you before to go out and hug a tree. Next time you have an anxiety attack, go out and hug a tree. Trust me. And if your neighbors see you, don't worry about it. They may want to try that too. It's been said that anxiety is a choice. Now, I don't know if I believe that in every scenario, every situation. It may not be always that anxiety is a choice, but I think by and large it is. We can choose to be nervous and upset about this, or we can choose to, Romans 8:28, this will work out. Give it to the Lord. We have a saying in our house, give it to the Lord and don't take it back. Sometimes we want to give it to the Lord, but we're too anxious to get it back and try to control it ourselves. Jesus in Luke 22, when he was in the garden praying, was he a little anxious? Did he have an anxiety thing going on? It says his sweat was as drops of blood. I believe he was a little anxious. Sometimes it's just not in our ability to put off anxiety. But what did Jesus say when he had that anxiety about it? Not my will, but yours. And he gave it up to God to control. It's for God to have his way. The best way to handle anxiety I know is let God take care of it. Somebody said he's going to be up all night anyway. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that are excellent, of the power may be of God and not of us. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. Think about the many things that happened to the Apostle Paul and Peter and others as they were going about in their ministries, spreading the gospel, Paul establishing congregations of the Lord's church, and Paul was beaten and left for dead. Depressed would be easy. Anxiety would be easy. But Paul says we're not those things. How did he put that? Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down and not destroyed. Hard-pressed on every side. Not crushed. That's pretty strong will. That's pretty strong trust in God to handle those things and to take care of us. Sometimes it's hard to come by. But we're not enslaved to our thoughts. We can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, Paul says in Romans 12:21. If we can control our thoughts, we can control our anxiety. If we can control our thoughts, we can control our focus on pleasing God or pleasing self. If we can control our thoughts, our mental health, our spiritual health, and even our physical health is much better. And it's about controlling thoughts. I said a minute ago something about cause and effect. Anxiety is both the cause and effect of misplaced focus and emphasis. Think about that. Anxiety is both the cause and effect of misplaced focus and emphasis. If you go into Matthew 6:22-23, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness, he says. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. It's not that the eye is bad. The eye is not a bad thing in itself. But if what we see, we perceive is bad, the light within us is dark. That's the thought process. Anxiety, but go back to that statement, anxiety, both the cause and effect of misplaced focus and emphasis. Let me explain that to you if you hadn't caught it. When it's the cause, when our focus is misplaced, we can become anxious, anxiety prone. If our focus is not where it ought to be, in the right perspective, with the right thoughts, we can very easily become anxiety prone. As far as an effect, when we become anxious, it causes our focus to be put off. So it's both the cause and the effect. So it can be that at the same time. It can be the cause from one person, the effect in another person. Anxiety can cause us to lose focus. Misplaced focus can cause us to be anxious. You see what I mean? Cause and effect. We can control that with our thoughts. We can control that. It's much easier when I begin to be anxious or upset about something, it's much easier to open this book and read Romans 8:28, or read the Psalms, read David, read the prophets, read. And take my focus and put it back on God and the things of the Lord that he'd have me to do and the lessons he'd have me to learn. Much easier to do that, much better for me, physically, mentally, and spiritually, than letting anxiety overwhelm me and the devil get a foot in the door. What it does, it isolates you. Remember Elijah thought he was the only one left. I'm the only one, and they're looking to kill me. 1 Kings 19. He was a little anxious about the situation. He felt all alone. Anxiety can do that to us. It makes us look inward rather than outward and upward. Correct me if I'm wrong, and put yourself, if you've ever been through an anxiety situation, it's all right here. It's all about this. It's all what's going on inside. Keeps you from looking outward and upward for the solution. It just does that. Anxiety, the psalmist says, is profitless. You see any profit in being anxious, upset, worried? Really not. I always thought being worried was a waste of good energy. Be doing something else with that energy. It paralyzes us, keeps us from doing what we need to be doing. Creates phobias and fears in our mental thinking. Matthew 25:25. Disturbs our peace of mind. It pinches the word. It keeps us from focusing on the word. It takes the word out of our focus. He who received the word among the seed, or excuse me, he who received the seed among the thorn is he who received the word and the cares of this world, pinched it out, pinched it away, squeezed it. So what do we do with anxiety? Trust in God. That's the first step. You start feeling anxious next time, worried about something, trust God. Pray. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. Pray always. In all things, let the will of God be done in your life, but make sure that it's so. Make sure it's the will of God. It's easy to say, well, I know God wants me to do this. I've heard people say, God spoke to me and told me to go do this. No, he didn't. He did not. If you go back and read Hebrews, you'll find that God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke directly to folks then in various ways, but today, what does it tell us? He's spoken to us through his Son, through whom he created all things. So if you hear somebody say, God spoke to me and said this, show them that passage in the Hebrew letter and ask them, how did that take place? Let the will of God be done in your life and make sure as you can, that it is the will of God, as best you know, and not just your druthers. It's easy to pass on our druthers as God's will. Study the Bible to gain knowledge, confidence, and trust. And keep focus on the price God offered and the promises he offered for those who remain faithful. In other words, keep looking toward the good and the promises God has given us. And it helps so much to relieve ourselves of those anxious times, when we can't control the situation. And anxiety usually comes around when we can't control the situation or the event when we want to. We're upset about kids. We worry about our kids and grandchildren because we can't control their lives, and we worry and we get anxious. God's in control. Focus on his promises and the good he's done for us already and the good he's promised to continue to do. That's your lesson. I hope it does you some good. I hope it will aid you in putting off anxiety next time it tries to enter into your life. As far as an invitation tonight, we're going to sing the song Trust and Obey. Is that it? What? Oh, Jesus is tenderly calling. I'm sorry. Jesus is tenderly calling me home. No, well, that's a good one. I think Trust and Obey was last week, I think. Anyway, Jesus is tenderly calling. He tenderly calls you every minute of every day. But this particular time, this particular place, he's tenderly calling that you might respond to the invitation. And if that's you tonight, Christian, non-Christian, either way, don't wait. If there's a need, if there's a calling on your heart, answer it while we stand together and while we sing.
Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner. The wonderful love he has promised, promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary. Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Please be seated. We want to make sure that all our brothers and sisters have the opportunity on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper and to remember our Lord's death and his resurrection. If there are those who were unable to be here with us this morning and want to partake of the Lord's Supper at this time, would you please raise your hand where the fellows in the back can see? All right, I don't